Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We have been studying in chapel Luke's account of the gospel, and we are in Luke 14. So I'm going to invite you to look in your Bibles at Luke 14, verses 1 through 24. And there are Bibles in the pew if you don't have a phone. Luke 14, verses 1 through 24. This is God's word. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brother or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, again, review what happened here. It's a Sabbath day. No work is to be done. Jesus has been invited to eat at the house of a prominent Pharisee. So this is a very well-respected member of the community, a deeply religious fellow, a man who is very disciplined. He has a lot of scripture memorized, though as Jesus points out repeatedly in the scriptures, they didn't understand the very words that they had memorized because they didn't recognize that all of scripture was pointing to Jesus. But that's the setting. It's a meal. And the purpose, and this happened a number of times, the purpose of these invites where Jesus is brought in is, on the one hand, Jesus is something of a celebrity. He has large crowds that follow him because he does miraculous things. And one of the things he is famous for is healing people. And yet they're watching because he's a very controversial character who has upset the power structure. He doesn't do things in the traditional way. So it's a Sabbath. Jesus went to eat, and they're watching him. They're watching him closely. They're not watching him just with fascination. They're watching him critically. They were always looking for an opportunity to accuse him. God himself became a man. And God is walking among them and doing marvelous things. And yet they're looking for something to criticize. And therefore, the presence of this man with dropsy was something of a test. We hear that he heals people sometimes even on the Sabbath. He doesn't keep the Sabbath the way we do. Well, yeah, you don't heal people ever. But let's see what he's going to do. So Jesus, before he heals the man, asks them a question. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. So Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Jesus wasn't going to base his behavior on their answer to the question. He went ahead and healed the man, and then he asked them, if one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And again, they had nothing to say. They wanted to test Jesus, but he kept putting them to the test, and they kept failing. They didn't have a good answer for his questions. They didn't have any answer for his questions. You can see where that would be an endearing quality if you're a Pharisee. No, they didn't like this at all. Increasingly, they hated Jesus. Because our problem with Jesus is a problem with God. God became a man, and as I said, walked among them doing these miracles, helping people. And the more he displayed the character of God, the more they displayed our innate hostility toward God.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, now Jesus is about to tell them something else. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. He says, when you go to a meal, it's a big occasion. Don't try to get in the best seat, because you may have to give it up. And at that point, there are no good seats left. So pick the least good seat, so that your host may say to you, hey, you come sit here. And then you're honored. Jesus says, and this is not the main point today, but it's a good point to remember. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's a guarantee from God. If you try to promote yourself and make yourself the big shot, God has a wonderful way of humbling us. I have some of my favorite memories that were painful memories, but the kids loved to hear about them. One was, I'd just gotten my first suit, and I was really proud of it. It was black with a light pinstripe, and I'd bought it at Bon Marché on sale. How many of you are old enough to remember Bon Marché? I think that means good store in French. But in any case, Bon Marché in Asheville, I'd gotten this suit. I was 12 years old, 7th grade, and I got a black shirt and a white tie that to me looked like silk. It was polyester, I'm sure. But I thought I looked like a fashion plate. And really, I looked like a wannabe gangster, okay? So I'm all dressed up in this outfit. It's now summertime, and the wrong time of year for such an outfit. The right time of year for that outfit is a costume party. But I was all dressed in this suit, and I thought I looked just brilliant. So I'm walking out of the auditorium, Anderson Auditorium in Montreat, and there's a kid who was probably, if I was 12, he was probably 10 years younger than I was. He was seated on the steps out back behind the auditorium. And I looked at him, and I imagined that he was admiring me. I thought, you know, he's got to be impressed. I look so good. And it was nice to have an audience. So I saw this kid. He looks at me. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me. And I imagined again that he's thinking I really look sharp. And so I gave him kind of a smile and a nod, you know, a little head nod, just like that. I didn't wave or anything, just a head nod. And I was walking very briskly, and I gave him that look and walked right into a stone column. Now, I didn't bump into the stone column. I smacked it with my face. And And I turned to look back at this kid to reassure him that I was still okay. And I couldn't see him. It was just like the whole world had gone blurry. And I sort of stumbled around the column and walked on around the side of the building and then leaned up against the wall and thought, what an idiot I am. How dumb I must have looked. That kid had a laugh that would last repeatedly as he thought back on it. God reminded me of a scripture from the Old Testament. Pride goes before a fall. Well, I learned my lesson for months. I was in college, and my brother had given me a ski outfit. He'd bought something that was more up to date. But I was still very pleased to have his ski pants and a ski parka, both of which were solid black. There was a blue lining in the hood of the parka. Gave me black gloves. I looked like an undertaker on the slopes. I was just learning how to ski, and it was spring. I took a course in skiing at Montreat College, and we'd gone up to Sugar Mountain, I believe it was, and it was melting. And it was especially melting down at the base of the hill where you get onto the ski lift to go up. And I'd ridden the ski lift, and I would have done okay, except that Richard Hudson's mother, sweet Mrs. Hudson, asked if I would ride up with her since she didn't have anyone to ride with. I didn't have anyone to ride with either, so I thought, well, that's a reasonable request. And as we went to get on, she was preceding me, and she moved too slowly. The result of this was that when I went to get on, I was a little too late, and the ski bar that we're both supposed to sit on simply knocked me down face first into the mud. At which point, of course, they had to stop the lift and come and make sure I was okay. And so, no, of course not. The people behind me in line got on next and went right over my head. And I had to crawl through the mud in order to escape from skis going like this. It was horrible. It was insulting. And then when I pushed myself up and stood to my feet, covered with mud from here to my boots, there was a line of people waiting to get on the ski lift, all of whom found this thoroughly amusing and made it evident, not by their facial expression, but by their pointing and loud guffaws. It was horrible. Who wants to be humiliated? Jesus' answer is anybody who tries to make themselves proud. We set people up in our culture for what eventually is guaranteed to be humiliation. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. How can Jesus be sure of this? Is this karma? No, this is God. God will see to it. But then Jesus says something else. He said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid by God at the resurrection of the righteous. Well, it doesn't say by God. It just says you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Well, who do you think is going to do that? Well, Well, that would be God, the one who raises us, yes. Yeah, the same one who humbles those who try and exalt themselves is going to reward those who, like him, give to those who cannot repay. Well, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus something that I would have responded amen to. Jesus is going to have a different response. The man said, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Yes, I too am looking forward to the future and the fact that there will be a great celebration, a feast in the kingdom of God. Won't it be wonderful? Jesus replies with another story. And the story is about people who were invited to a feast and didn't come. I carry in one of my Bibles, not this one sadly, but in one of my Bibles, an invitation I received while I was on sabbatical in Marco Island, Florida, probably about 20 years ago. My wife and I had gone down there with the blessing of the board because I needed some time to work on a project for our school's accreditation. That's what's called a working man's vacation or a busman's holiday. So I went down there, and I'm working on this, and I thought, we need to have a nice place to stay, and I have saved a bunch of Hilton Honors points in my travels. So we're going to stay at a Hilton property, and it'll be nice. And it was. It was right on the beach, Marco Island, powdery white sand, lovely. The first night that we were there, kids had run out to the pool and the beach, and all around the pool, there were people enjoying heavy hors d'oeuvres. Now, I like to eat. I really do. Anyone who's ever spent mealtime with me knows that. I like to eat. And I've always enjoyed heavy hors d'oeuvres. Not all hors d'oeuvres, but the really nice ones, you know? Not just pretzels and cheese or something, but like shrimp and things that are mushroom caps that have been stuffed with all kinds of delicacies. And I mean, some work went into this, all right? And there were meats and various things, and they're all there on this buffet table. And I looked at it, and I thought, that's quite a spread. And so I went over to the fellow who was standing there, and I said, excuse me, is this for some group or something? And he said, yes, it's just for invited guests. And I said, okay. And I proceeded on out to the beach and walked along with the kids and thought about going to get some fast food somewhere. I discovered later in the week that I was one of the invited guests. I had received upon check-in not only the key to the room and some instructions about Wi-Fi and things like that, but a nicely printed invitation that said, "Welcome, Hilton Honors guest." I was a gold member at that point. And it said, "You are invited to the manager's reception tonight by the pool." That feast was for me. I was invited. And I missed it. I saw it. I smelled it. I wanted it. But I missed it. That's why I saved the invitation. Because God has invited not those who can repay him. He has invited the poor. the crippled, the lame, the blind. He has invited those who weren't originally invited, if you're a Gentile. He invited and compelled us to come in from the highways and byways when we were just doing something else, going somewhere else, on our own way to destruction. He came, his servants sent to bring us the news, come with me, come now. There's a feast. The Master wants you to come. That's what he did for us. Here's the main point for today. You have been invited. Will you come? You have been invited. Will you come? I can't answer for you. But thank God, this is an invitation that I didn't overlook in my packet of materials from the Hilton Hotel. This invitation I have received, and by grace I have believed, and I am on my way to a banquet. And you are invited. Will you come? The people who didn't come, the people who said, listen, I'm so sorry to decline. I just bought a field and I must go see it. Do you think they really bought it without seeing it first? I don't. I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Oh, you bought them and now you're going to try them out? I doubt it. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. My wife doesn't like to do things like this. These were excuses. You know why people aren't going to be in heaven? Excuses. They don't like the host. They don't want to have to sit next to some of those other people. Well, they won't. You've been invited. Will you come?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.